standing still, but they still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will. And on the old town square.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Thursday morning. Text line, you need to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Coming up in about an hour, April Marie Fogel, 1819 News. And then my friend Rebecca Watson runs the Fairhope Faith Collective, as it's called, in the 11 o'clock hour. So stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, he is the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor and one-time regular on the show. We'll resume that here shortly, I'm sure. But John Wall joins us on the line. John, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, now you transition to a general election campaign, and it's not as intense, I am certain, of as that primary would have been. But you still have an opponent, Philip Enzler, a state lawmaker, or I guess soon to be former state lawmaker from Montgomery. But talk a little bit about the campaign now in this phase.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, there's a lot of statewide candidates. You know, you can almost, in Alabama, you can almost take the general for granted. Now, I'm not going to do that. I think it's important that our statewide elected, you know, statewide candidates do take it seriously, that they get out there and they talk to voters, whether it's independents, whether it's, you know, common sense Democrats, try to, you know, explain to them why the Democrat Party has gone so far left that it's left them behind. And I think that's important for two reasons. One, we need candidates who are listening to the people. And that's always been a priority of mine. That's, you know, my campaign was based on a grassroots campaign where we, you know, got out there and were focused on listening to the people of the state. But two, we cannot give up on the fact that there are Democrats here who will try to win. And look, whether it's statewide, whether it's, you know, Doug Jones running against Tommy Tuberville, or whether it's, you know, a county school board race in Mobile County. Democrats have recruited candidates across the ballot. They're engaged. They're working hard to try to win in every corner of Alabama. And I'm not going to concede, you know, anything to them. We're going to run a general election campaign, and we're going to talk to voters about what we believe in and why it's so important they get out and vote and that they vote conservative. Because the left would destroy everything we love as a country, our freedoms, our liberties. They don't understand where our rights come from. You know, they look to socialism instead of to our, you know, our creator, and that our rights come from our creator. And so, you know, I'm actually looking forward to running a very vigorous general election campaign to make sure that we pull people out and remind people how important it is that they get out and vote.
Well, I'm asking you, I guess that you're in this cycle, but got to put on your pundit hat a little bit. The primary, we saw very high numbers for Democrats in turnout. And I mean, it was coming off a big news cycle, obviously, with the Louisiana case decision, and then some of the things that happened here that were a net result of that. Do Democrats have the ability to maintain that level of enthusiasm all the way to November? Because my suspicion is probably not.
Well, look, they won't to that same high level. That being said, when you look at Democrat turnout across the country, I think it will be, look, the Democrat base is energized, and it's not about anything here in Alabama. This is about national politics. I mean, you know, they used to say all politics was local, and now it's pretty much all politics is national. They hate Donald Trump. They hate what's happening there. They still feel, you know, they're a wounded animal from the 2024 election cycle where Republicans literally smashed them, won the popular vote. You know, this was a statement win from Donald Trump in November of 2024, and they're reeling. And their base is engaged. They are excited. They're coming out, just as always happens in the midterm, you know, midterm election, with the new president in the White House. So the Democrats will be engaged. They're going to be energetic, and they're going to turn out. And that's why it's so important the Republicans are, because look, we have just as much to fight for. Donald Trump's election was not the end of the battle. This is the beginning of the battle. If we're really going to reclaim America, if we're going to, you know, restore America, if we're going to, you know, put in the words of Donald Trump, make America great again, it's not going to end with Donald Trump's election. This has to be a movement that continues both on the federal and state level.
Well, and, you know, just it was an unprecedented level of enthusiasm. And you kind of look around. I think there are some pockets to be concerned about. But, you know, statewide, probably a little tougher with so much on the ballot for Democrats that we're not quite in like a Roy Moore, Doug Jones territory where people think that they can maybe sneak one out here. And I just, that's probably not in the cards.
I completely agree. It's going to be, look, the battlefield's going to be over, you know, over those local races, whether it's, state house races, I know Huntsville area has a couple of state senate seats, a lot of county commission, county school board. But look, these races are the races that really decide local control, especially areas like Mobile County. Mobile County is not a heavy Republican area. This is very much a purple area. And we saw higher Democrat turnout in the primary than Republican in Mobile County. And what's at risk is control of local government. And I think that's why it is so critical that voters.
Did we lose you, John?
Their local school boards and all those different things that make up government.
Yeah, and Republican voting behavior. They just aren't showing up for the primary, but typically you see, I think, higher Republican turnout just because it's the I like to call it the Fox Newsification of the news. But they're going to be aware of a November 3rd. General election, whereas probably not as concerned about a May 19th primary or a June runoff or whatever.
100%. And look, you also have things like the negative. This is a very negative cycle with advertising, and that turns off voters, right? Like if candidates are super negative and that turns down turnout. And another thing I think people forget is I think Democrats having competitive primaries actually voted in their own primary this cycle. Traditionally a lot of Democrats come over, swing over, vote in the Republican primary. And so we don't normally get accurate numbers of what primary turnout looks at between the two parties because half of the Democrats are voting in the Republican primary.
Yeah. But this time around, I mean, it wasn't even that they had competitive races. It was like a statement or a signature in protest almost.
That's right. Vote blue.
Vote blue. Yeah. And then, none of the races on the Democrat side really were a surprise to me. I mean, I don't know. You look up and down the ballot there. Maybe the only one I have no idea who was going to win that was the U.S. Senate. But the rest of them all kind of fell in line.
You kind of knew that Doug Jones was going to be the nominee for governor, Philip Ensler, my race. That's exactly right. No big surprises, but still actual competitive, actual races that had competition. There were multiple candidates in their primary, which is unusual for Democrats in years past.
Yeah, they're just not big on, it's just primary elections in general. It's despite like all the advertising and all of the signs and it none of that really resonates like when we have a good national election and then you have like lines out the door.
That's right. Well, and it's why midterm. Look, the reason traditionally I believe midterm elections are won by the opposition party to the president of the White House. Is not because of the action, not because of a shift in voters. It's because of a shift in turnout. Midterm elections always have a lower turnout, and it's the side that's more engaged that carries the day in a midterm election. I think, a lot of political pundits, a lot of pollsters, and the media, I think a lot of people forget about that. Almost more important than shifting numbers is who actually comes out to vote. What does turnout look like? The excitement of the base. And that, at the end of the day, is probably more important than anything else when you look at an election.
Joined by John Wally, Republican nominee for lieutenant governor here on the program. John, looking more nationally, and up until this latest dust up with the Iranians, gas prices looked like they were heading in a positive direction. And I kind of took a closer look at it, and like even with the redistricting around the country. Some of these major prognosticators, and I always talk about the Cook Political Report, Larry Sabato, they had Republicans holding the House of Representatives. The Graham Plattner thing, I think, makes the Senate a little harder to obtain for Democrats. Yep. And maybe that's just wish casting, and this is what we do. I mean, you know how this goes, but there's no reason to give up hope on Republicans in this cycle because there's still a lot of things in their favor.
That's right. Look, there's a lot in our favor. There's another thing going on here that, that people forget about, and that's that, you know, we're still 4 or 5 months away from the general election. And look, I know that's getting close, but that's an eternity in national and in federal politics. I mean, we could easily have things settled with Iran and gas prices down. We could, you know, the economy is getting better from the Biden years. You know, people forget about this. You can't flip a switch in the economy. It takes, you know, the tax cuts, some of the legislation, some of the things that Donald Trump has worked on. It'll take 2-3 years before we feel the full effect of it. So I think as the economy grows, you know, hopefully we can get gas prices down. We're going to see that realization with, you know, with the voters. So I'm hoping to see some improvement over the next few months. Getting voters to understand that it is the values of the Republican Party. It is, you know, especially a Republican Congress is so important for standing for those things that we know work economically. But look, most importantly, the map really is stacked for Republicans. When you look at which districts around the country, we're within 10% for either Harris or Donald Trump. Republicans have an easier map to defend this cycle. And that's it, that if we're going to be able to hold the House, it's going to be because of that. You know, a lot of the swing districts are actually currently held by Democrats, not Republicans. And so there's just less areas that Republicans have to defend. We can be on offense more. If we can pick up even one or two of those, where maybe Democrats have won in special elections or they just barely squeaked it out, at 24, we have more opportunities to pick up the Democrats too, just because of the makeup of the map. And that's why we have a chance, even though it's probably going to be a hard midterm for Republicans across the country.
It's going to be hard, but, you know, the Texas map, the Florida map, some of these states that were successful in their redistricting. And granted, California had theirs as well, but unsuccessful were, you know, New York, Virginia, whatever, not quite as successful, I should say.
You have to remember what California and New York have done. What they've done by creating more Democrat districts, what they've actually done is create a lot of very close margin districts. And that's very dangerous for Democrats in states like California and New York. Because these voters know what Democrat leadership looks like. They're dealing with Mondami right now up in New York, and they don't necessarily have the same backlash, the same intensity for the Democrats in turnout, because Republicans are feeling the squeeze from state level, and it's why we saw New York really come through for Republicans back in 2022. Where I think, and don't quote me on the number here, but I think we picked up 5 seats in New York in a quote unquote Democrat year. Because they were being hurt, they were suffering more under the draconian leadership of the Democrats on the state level than they were from Donald Trump on the federal level.
And yeah, like a really good candidate with Lee Zeldin, even though he didn't win, he had coattails, and that, I mean, some of these Democrat districts, they called him sleeping, but I got like a George Santos, and that didn't work out so well, but they even called the Republicans sleeping to some degree. With this, but I mean, that's entirely possible. Just depends on sometimes who's at the top of the ballot.
100%. And look, this is a cycle where I think if Democrats get too close with their redistricting in New York and California, they could actually create opportunities for Republicans to steal a district here or there.
Yeah. Well, is the same true for Republicans if they do this? Does this create opportunities for Democrats in some of these places?
It depends on redistricting and how smart Republicans are when they redistrict. It shouldn't. And I think most of the Republican states we've seen who have made these moves we're not going to. And that's because the Republican states who are redistricting are states who have been bound by federal courts for 30 years. These are not natural districts. It's not the same situations where Democrats have been gerrymandering districts for who knows how long, my entire lifetime. States like Massachusetts, I always use that as an example. Massachusetts has a very similar Republican-Democrat split to Alabama, just the opposite direction. It's about 60-40 Democrat. They don't have a single Republican district. They have 9 congressional seats, not a single Republican, because they redistricted long, long ago and took out every Republican seat.
Well, do we run the risk of doing that here in Alabama?
Well, I think we have to. I, you know, this is not, for me, it's not a risk. I think the Republicans and Republican states have to respond in kind. Because, look, would it be nice if we had respectful, you know, Democrats who treated Republicans with respect and gave them some districts in Massachusetts? Absolutely. That went out the window 30, 40 years ago. There is no respect from the Democrats. There is no attempt to hold an olive branch to Republicans or to give any kind of concession. And look, this is a political war. You cannot look at this as fun and games. You can't look at this as, oh, we should, you know, let the Democrats have a district. No, they would never do the same in return for Republicans. And we have got to hold the line. And states like Alabama or Georgia or, you know, South Carolina, Tennessee, we have to do the same thing to Democrats they would do to us, because you cannot leave a weapon unused in a battle. And make no mistake, the Democrats are playing for keeps, and they will use anything against Republicans. And we have to wake up and do the same to them.
Hey, John, we got to get out of here. Before we go, so folks still want to find out more about your candidacy, where can they look?
Well, look, I always like to stay engaged with voters. We're on all major social media. I'm John Wall for Lieutenant Governor. And then, of course, our website is votejohnwall.com.
You'll check that out. John, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, good to be on the show.
All right. Lieutenant Governor Republican nominee, John Wall. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.